Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. I'm going to ask you, as we begin this morning, if you'll do something with me. I'm going to ask you if you'll all close your eyes for a minute. Close your eyes. Everybody just kind of be still. Close our eyes for just a minute. I want us all to take in a couple of nice deep breaths to get ourselves relaxed. Inhale in your nose, out your mouth. Now I want you to think back to a time in your life when you felt the closest to God you've ever felt. A time when it felt like God was right there with you. A time maybe when you felt God's embrace. Or you heard God's voice. Picture that and hold it in your mind for a moment. I want to ask you to think about the circumstances that were surrounding that event. Where were you at the time? When was it? What were you doing? What was going on around you? All right, now if we can all open our eyes and focus back in. Does anybody like to just briefly, in a sentence or two, just share something? What that moment is for you? Anybody? You said that moment was, this particular moment was just really powerful. Anybody? Absolutely. Birth of children is a miraculous thing. Anybody else? Just share what that moment was for you. I felt the closest to God at this point in my life. Okay. Yeah. Let me ask a show of hands. How many of you in that moment that you had in your head were on a retreat or on a trip or something of that kind, you know, whether maybe a youth trip or some kind of retreat or some kind of trip? Okay, good, great. How about you were at some kind of worship service, you know, a church event, some kind of worship service, okay, a couple people there, great. What about in the midst of a crisis situation? Like something was really crisis, yeah, big ones, there we go, good. What about anybody at work? That happen? Grocery store? Anybody? Pumping gas? Might have been a holy moment. I don't know. Hold on to those memories. The reason I did this, but hold on to those because they're going to become significant as we go on. And so just keep them kind of in the back of your mind as we look at this morning's scripture. I'm going to read this morning from the Gospel of Luke. Told Jerry before church today, this was my great-grandfather's student Bible, so I'm very excited to use that this morning to read to you from Luke chapter 2, where the scripture says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all the world, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the holy story of Christmas, the story of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate, whom we acknowledge, whom we worship as we gather together. The same Jesus who poured out the Holy Spirit upon us that would guide us into all truth and help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray this morning that your Spirit would give us guidance, would give us revelation. Help us to see you this morning and help us to receive the message that you have prepared for us. We pray it all in the name of our Savior. Amen. I wonder how we imagine this Christmas scene. I wonder what, when we think about Christmas, when we think about the birth of Jesus, I wonder about the images that come to your mind, to my mind, to all of our minds. And I wonder if it's something like some of these pictures that I kind of found as I was looking. Of course, it's not going to work. There it goes. The sweet picture. Kind of different. A little interesting from an African perspective. Wonder about some of those pictures, and I know we kind of went through them fast, and I'll put them all online this afternoon if you want to go back and take a look at some of those and kind of just meditate on some of those images of the nativity, of the birth of Jesus. If I were to tell you this morning that there was something about that Luke 2 story that was radically ordinary, would that strike any of you as strange? Radically ordinary. Some of us, I mean, you think about it, you go, ordinary? I mean, the birth of Jesus, God taking on flesh, the Word become flesh that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, the Savior of the world being born, angels appearing in the sky, putting on a praise and worship service that makes the Pentecostals look stuffy, you know? This is what's going on, and sure we want to go with ordinary. But I want you to think about it for a minute. Who is this family that's traveling to Bethlehem? Who is this family that to whom a baby is being born here? I mean, we've got this couple here, and it's you know, it's apparent to Mary and apparent to all her friends and to all her family that, you know, this girl went and got knocked up before she got married. You know, that's just the way it is, right? You know, and since Joseph jumped in and he came to her rescue and, you know, demanding that they go ahead with the wedding, you know, everybody's assuming, well, you know, the baby's his. He's coming to her rescue, but the baby's his and he's doing what's right. You know, there, it's kind of, you know, maybe a little bit like, I don't know, some Jerry Springer going on in this family a little bit. Maybe a little bit, at least maybe a little Maury, you know, a little Maury Povich where he's like got the envelope. He's opening it up and he's like, there's a 100% chance that Joseph is not the biological father of this baby. Right? I mean, yeah. There's some of that going on. Maybe a little bit, okay? Maybe not exactly like that, but anyway, you know that Joseph's mom could not have approved here. You know, mom's looking at this, especially in this culture, is going, Joe, I don't know what you're doing here, bud, but this is not good. Because nobody wants their son to marry some, you know, loose floozy, no matter how good or how holy her story might be. But they get married. They get married anyway. And it comes time for the census, for them to go and to be registered, to be taxed. So Joseph takes his knocked-up fiancé. I know, it's a little undignified, right? His knocked-up fiancé, he heads for the family place. So they have to travel about 70 miles to Bethlehem to get there. And the journey's difficult, and they get to town, and they can't find a place to stay, and the city's bustling with people because a lot of people have had to travel in from out of town to be registered. Maybe it's kind of like trying to go shopping in the middle of the Christmas season. Anybody been out lately? It's crazy. You try to drive down Tunnel Road sometime, I mean, like there in front of the mall, it gets nuts. People get crazy. And it's only going to get worse this week, so you can stay in. But, you know, lines everywhere, people everywhere. Everybody's in a hurry. Everybody's impatient. Most of them are rude. That's just the way it is. But a baby is born into this situation and put in a feeding trough. So there's this couple with a new baby in a feeding trough. Maybe they're in a stable. Maybe it's a cave. We don't really know exactly. We're not sure. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it's probably where the animals usually are. Whether they're there or not, we're not really sure. It doesn't say, but that's not so important because we know that where animals are probably doesn't smell great, probably isn't, you know, the most comfortable place. It's probably dirty. You know, maybe there's a rough equivalent to this. Maybe if we think about it in our day, here's Mary and Joe that are driving down the road. They've been, you know, out in the holiday bustle and the traffic has been bumper to bumper and there's been a terrible accident on the road. So they pull off and they say, well, we got to fill up with gas. And then Mary gives Joseph the look that says, this baby is coming now, right? And so the baby's coming, and they can't leave, and the ambulance is not going to get there in time because there's an accident and there's stuff going on. And so the baby's born right there in the Flying J truck stop on the side of the road. And they don't have anything to put the baby in, so the busboy over there at the iron skillet grabs his plastic container, and he empties it out, and they grab some T-shirts off the clearance rack, and they kind of stuff it in there and put the baby in there to be held. Maybe that's a rough equivalent. I don't know. But the point is that God enters into human time right there in the midst of the ordinary. Not the special, the ordinary. Because that's the scene here. It's sweat and blood and makeshift blankets and makeshift diapers around God. Right in the midst of the ordinary, completely ordinary things that you don't see on greeting cards, right? When people send you greeting cards in the mail, these are not the things that you find on them. Because Jesus invades the life of these two ordinary people going about their ordinary business, trying to follow the laws of the land, trying to be a good citizen, doing what the emperor, or you know, the emperor is called for a census, so trying to do what they're supposed to do, trying to trust God even when they don't understand what's going on. They're probably doubting at some point. They're being ridiculed. They're trying to have faith when things just don't seem to make sense. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Does that feel familiar to you at all? Trying to live out this faith when things don't always line up and it doesn't always make sense. You see, God makes his entrance into this incredibly ordinary circumstance. But it doesn't stop there, because it says at the same time there were shepherds out in the fields. Now, has anyone ever wondered about these shepherds? Why were they not going to their father's hometown to register for the census? I'm wondering, what are they doing? Maybe they were there already. I don't know, but they don't seem to be worried about all of the good things that citizens do. They're on the field. They're traveling around. Maybe they're nomads. Yeah, maybe they don't even have a home. Maybe they're just kind of following the sheep where they go. Going about their everyday work routine. It's just another day on the job, right? They're out in the fields. And we've heard about these guys, right? We've heard that they're kind of a swarthy bunch, you know? Not the fine, upstanding model citizens in the culture. Not the guys you normally want to bring home for dinner, probably, and, you know, you hang out in the fields for all day caring with sheep, and you might not have the greatest perfume on either at the time. But you know, it's more than that. It's more than just that. More than just that these are some kind of shady individuals, because I wonder what the rough equivalent would be for these guys, if we're thinking of them in today's culture. One writer put it this way. He said, "When I lived near Los Angeles, I would often see men standing in small groups on the street corners waiting for someone to pick them up for a day job. Perhaps they would be hired to mow the lawn on a wealthy estate or sweep the factory floor. These hardworking immigrants would do a good job. If they were undocumented, it was all the better, since they could be hired for less than minimum wage. How could they complain to the authorities? These are the shepherds." Why were they not worried about the census? Well, another writer says this. He says, "Like migrant workers or the newly homeless family who live in their car, they move from place to place largely unnoticed by bureaucracies. They are quite literally not worth counting by the government." These are the people that the angels appear to, not folks like you and I, probably. It's an incredibly ordinary group of people. These guys are trying to do a hard day's work. They're trying to put food on the table. They're trying to keep a roof over their kids' heads. They're trying to make ends meet. They're not somebody special. They're incredibly ordinary people. And angels appear to them and give them the good news. And where do they appear? Right in the middle of the workday. Right in the middle of their job. Not off somewhere meditating by this, you know, peaceful waterfall. And they've had this wonderful experience and, you know, they've achieved enlightenment and are ushered into the angel's presence. No, it's not like that. It's not a worship service at the temple where the shepherds have gone and they've sung wonderful hymns and had a great sacrifice, and then, you know, the angels show up, and you're like, oh, yes, it wasn't like that. They weren't doing anything particularly religious. It was just an ordinary day at work. Now, Dallas Willard is one of my favorite writers on the Christian life, and he argues that the most important place where spiritual maturity takes place, where spiritual maturity happens, and where it is formed, is in the workplace. He says, Christian discipleship, it happens or it doesn't happen in the workplace. Because anybody can go to church once a week and have, you know, some kind of spiritual experience. And anybody can get alone in a peaceful place in prayer and have some kind of experience with, you know, with God. Something like that. He says, but the test of your maturity, the real test of your maturity, is what comes out in the workplace. What comes out when the rubber meets the road? What comes out in your relationships with your coworkers, with your customers, with your bosses, with your clients? Are those relationships Christ-like? Do you conduct business with integrity? Does the way you do business, does it stand out from everybody else? What drives the bottom line? Is it profit margins or is it commitment to Christ? See, the workplace is the fertile ground for spiritual growth because it's hard. It's difficult. So just think back for just a moment to those places that we thought about just a few minutes ago, those places where we felt the closest to God. Let me offer this morning, this morning's, you know, so what message is this. Jesus is born. Emmanuel, God with us, is here. And Christ wants to come into your life this Christmas season. But let me warn you. It may not be that Christ wants to come into your life when we are gathered here in this place with pretty decorations, wonderful friends, and church family. It might not be some idyllic Christmas scene that you would see on a Christmas card. It might not be in vacation days, in big family meals, where everybody's around the table, smiling and enjoying it. It may be that Christ wants to come into your life this Christmas in the hopelessly ordinary, in the midst of the dysfunctional family gathering, when Uncle Al has had a little bit too much eggnog for about the 15th year in a row, he's getting a little unruly, when your cousin has shown up with his 16-year-old pregnant girlfriend, when siblings won't talk to each other because of unresolved squabbles, when mom's martyr complex makes everyone feel guilty for not helping out in preparing the Christmas dinner, when Uncle Bill shows his lack of tact by asking your recently laid off brother when he's going to find a job, when the law enforcement has to be called to break up a fight between two brothers over who stole whose girlfriend that became whose wife, Christ wants to be present there in the midst of that ordinary kind of Christmas. Or maybe it's in the midst of your ordinary work this year, when coworkers' annoying habits just really start grating on your nerves this year. When customers are about as friendly as a charging rhinoceros, you know, that kind of feeling. When you feel overworked, underpaid, when bosses are overbearing, when profit margins drive the bottom line always. Even in this kind of situation, angels just might appear proclaiming good news. And in the midst of the ordinary hustle and bustle of the season for all of us, shopping for presents, buying groceries for Christmas dinner, filling up your car with gas, going out to eat, paying your bills, and all of those things, God is calling us into communion with Himself. So this Christmas, my prayer for you is this. May you be awake to the presence and availability of God in the ordinariness of your life this Christmas. That in the chaos and commotion of work, may you hear even a faint chorus of angels. And in the dysfunction of family, may you see signs of Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the wonderful, ordinary story of Jesus. And yet at the same time, it's the wonderful, extraordinary story of Jesus. That you took simple things that we all experience every day, and you transformed them by bringing your presence right into the midst of them. So, Father, we realize this week as we prepare to do our final preparations, and this Saturday as we gather together as families to open presents, to eat dinner, to sing, to pray together, to enjoy each other's company. And even when those things don't go as well as we would like them to, and when arguments break out, feelings get hurt, and difficulties arise, that you can turn those ordinary family experiences into extraordinary events just by your presence. So make us aware of your presence, Father. Give us eyes to see you this Christmas. Give us ears to hear the faint voice of the angels crying out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." May we experience a taste of that peace this Christmas. Father, may we give you all the glory for all that you've done, for all that you are doing, for all that you will do. We pray this all in the name of the one who came, the Word who became flesh, who appeared as a baby, who grew up to a man, lived a perfect, sinless life, who died a sinful death, and who was raised again and ascended into heaven, where he now intercedes for us. We pray in his name. Amen. As we sing this final song this morning, I want you to think about what your expectations are. What's been your experience so far this Christmas, and what are your expectations for this week? Do you have big plans? How open is your life right now? How open is your heart right now? How open are your eyes? Pray during this time. Use this time to commune with God and ask Him to make you aware, to give you eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart that's open and ready to receive God's presence wherever it shows up. Whether it's in the extraordinary, wonderful events or the monotonous, ordinary ones. If you'd like to pray, the altar's open up here. If you'd like someone to pray with you, I'll be in the back and would love to lift up prayers on your behalf if you would like that. But whatever God is calling you to do, I ask you to respond this morning.